CD-ROM reader, and I plugged in the wrong unit into it, and it smoked. Open the garbage and threw it away.
Oh, no. Well,
and what do you suggest? Portable test. Portable. Oh, I sure like my Asus tablet. I mean, my Asus tablet.
Does it
like
that?
It's that size.
Well, you know, you might be looking for a tablet. Yeah, the Asus is a good name brand to look in. I like Asus. I like Samsung.
Is it? What about Acer?
You know, Acer has yet to prove themselves with tablets, but what they've proved with laptops is they're not a name brand I recommend. Or desktops, they're not a name brand I'd recommend, and the reason is because they've always been fragile and prone to heat. They tend to use older technology, and then they build it up with, like, cooling systems. And so I've never felt like I've had good experiences with Acer. I definitely had better experiences with Acer than others in the past. Like, Acer was always better than Packard Bell. What else has it always been better? It's always been better.
HP.
Well, if you compare it to where HP is now, but back in the day that Packard Bell was around, you definitely want an HP. You wouldn't want an Acer. Nowadays, everything's better than HP.
Morning.
But if you're only going to have one outside... is it the tablet or the iPad? What's the best if you only want one?
Asus. Wait, you're talking about one tablet or?
One external,
One portable device?
Compared to an iPhone.
I don't have an iPhone. I don't have a smartphone.
You're looking at me, and I have got three portable devices within grasp. So it's hard to narrow it down to one.
Well, think about it sometimes. What would be the most...
The iPad, that I've got, you can have Magic Jack for free and call out if you have memory.
I didn't, Chester. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you on it. I did look for them, and the ones I have are not the ones that you need. They're DDR3, and you need DDR2. And I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you on that.
Did you hook up this Kaspersky thing?
I tried.
You tried and didn't get anywhere?
No, because we had to be online. I don't think we were online at that time.
You're using a trial version. Just get rid of it. We'll put something else in.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do is get rid of it.
Well, you have to go to add remove program.
Shall I talk about my issue that I had this week?
Yeah, right. I would let
you. Sure, yeah. I'm still getting a little organized here, so... We are streaming. We're online right now. Everything's being recorded. I think this is working. Testing. Yeah, it looks like it's working. So we're ready to go.
What does that mean, streaming?
Well, if you can't make it to our club, I broadcast it at the same time. So you can go to the website and listen to it there.
Oh.
And then later, it's also recording, and I record it as a podcast, and then I put it up, and you can find it in iTunes, or you can go listen to it from the website later.
So if I ask you a question and then I forget what the answer is, I can go back.
That's exactly the reason.
That's like
you know me too well.
Now, do me a favor. Since this is our first meeting of this season, and I am talking about this streaming and podcasting again, let me remind you, if you find yourself listening to something off of the website, please take a moment and comment what it was you were listening about so that I can do a better job of indexing the important information. Okay. Say you ask a question, you forget the answer, you go back and you listen, you get the answer. Make a comment there. You don't need to sign up for anything. You can just make a blank comment. Yeah, just type it in right there at the where I've got it recorded. And that'll give me a reference to what was in that podcast. It would be we talked about iPads today, and so then we know there's iPad conversation on October 8th. That's it. Go ahead, Chester.
Okay, I had a problem this week. Somehow or another, I had clicked on a site, and I wound up with FLV player pop-ups. Anywhere I was online, even Viva San Carlos, no matter where, these pop-ups, these ads would pop up and take half the page, and I couldn't get rid of them. It took me hours and hours and hours to find out how to get rid of these things. Because they're really, really a bad nuisance in case you happen to get it. And I finally found it after a lot of search and a lot of trial and error. So if anybody is interested in knowing how to do it.
Doesn't your
your protection help you? Your protection?
No, it's not a virus. It's a spam ad, pop-up ad.
That's like that what happened with me computer. With Craig. What happened with me with Craigslist?
Yeah, and it's not a program. It's just an ad nuisance. Then it's no matter where you go on the internet, these things pop up and are in your way, and you have to eliminate them. 5 minutes later, they're back up again.
How did you get it in the first place?
I don't know. I was on some site somewhere and got it. It wasn't porno either.
That's what everybody thinks that right away. It was the price of tomatoes.
What's the solution?
The solution is that you go into, I use Chrome.
Right.
And there's a little bit different solution for Firefox versus Chrome.
See, you saying that makes it clear what kind of issue that was, because it installed an extension or a plugin in your browser.
Right, in my browser.
Yeah.
And the solution finally was to go to settings, and then on the far left-hand side, you have three or four different categories, which I'd never seen before, and one of them is called extensions. And you click on extensions, then you click on get more extensions, and you find AdBlocks Plus.
Oh, interesting naming convention.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's a utility to keep ads out of your computer.
And it works.
Oh, did
it's
you?
It's an app.
Oh, you installed the ad block. Oh, okay.
It's not a program. It's an app. And it works.
So you were getting these pop-ups, and so you installed AdBlock Plus.
Yeah.
And that blocked the pop-ups. Okay. You know, I would encourage you to, because I misunderstood, I'd encourage you to keep looking in that extensions list for something that's generating the ads. Because some of these threats now are coming in as extensions.
Yes.
And they install into your computer, and then you don't know where you're getting them, but you've actually installed them inadvertently. Now, AdBlock, what that'll do is it'll stop things from popping up, but it doesn't necessarily remove the actual program that's causing the problem.
But I don't know how I got it, but I got it.
Did you learn Malwarebytes?
Malwarebytes wouldn't take care of it. Glaries would not.
Didn't find it.
It's not a virus. I did find a Trojan.
Yeah, it's kind of like Nagware. It sounds like it's really not intending to do any damage. It's just trying to put you in a position to buy stuff.
Yeah. Once you download FLV Player, you get all these other programs and ads that go along with it.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. They're not programs.
Yeah, I took them all.
FLV is a program.
FLV
is a program.
Well, FLV is referring to Flash video.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right, it's referring to Flash video. Now, if you made a leap of faith with that, you're using Chrome. Chrome has a built-in Flash player. It's one of the reasons that I recommend Chrome, at least for novices, because you don't have to worry about keeping Flash up to date. And until recently, Flash has been one of the biggest culprits for malicious software getting into your computer, is having to it's been taking advantage of poor security on the part of Adobe Flash. So what Google did a while back is they said, okay, we'll license Flash from Adobe and integrate it into our browser. Now our customers aren't responsible for making sure they have the most up-to-date version of Flash we are. So every time you end up with a new Chrome update, which you're typically not aware of, it happens silently in the background, you're getting the latest secure version of Flash integrated.
Okay, but now last year, if you had Flash program on your computer, you needed to get rid of it.
Oh.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that I recommend?
Is that still true?
Yeah, I recommend Chrome because Google, who builds Chrome, has included Flash. So there's no reason for you to need Flash installed.
Now we had Chrome for a while, and
people told us it was slowing down our computer, so we got rid of it.
Well, each one of the browsers has gone through those kinds of growing pains.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if sometime in the future some update of Chrome makes it perform worse compared to some other browser. But unfortunately, that's just...
It just changes around.
Yeah, that's just the way it works. They make incremental changes to these products that compete with each other. And at any given moment, one will be running better than the other. The reason I like to recommend Chrome, and it has nothing to do with privacy, it's the reason I like to recommend Chrome has to do with the amount of malicious stuff that's been getting into people's computer because of Flash being out of date. And because of the PDF reader being out of date, and they download and they do things. They do simple things like go and watch a video online, but the video has been laced with something, and it gets into the computer through the Flash player. At the very least, Google has a responsibility to make sure that you're not getting infected because you've chosen to use their browser.
Can
you
use Chrome on my iPad?
Now, that's an interesting question because there is a version of Chrome for the iPad, but the iPad doesn't support Flash at all. And so even though Chrome on the PC has built-in Flash and Chrome on the Macintosh has built-in Flash, Chrome on the iPad does not have built-in
Flash. But a tablet would.
But an Android tablet does have Flash.
What is Flash?
It's a
Adobe.
It's a video standard. That's probably the easiest way to describe it. It's a way of creating videos. It's also a way of creating interactive content. So you've got this rich environment where you can press buttons and watch animations and things like that.
That's not the same as that.
That's the PDF reader, and no, it's not the same as that
or that.
Yeah, you have to have Adobe reader.
Right.
Is it still true with Java, only install it when you need it and take it off when you don't need it?
Absolutely.
I just went off of a site that required me to have Java, and I figured that was too much trouble, so I just said forget it.
Yeah, no, and I think from most people's perspectives, at least most of the people here at this table, with the exception of maybe Linda, I think that you are safer if you leave Java uninstalled all the time, and then when you come across something that's asking for Java, that's when you make this judgment of how important this something is. If you're doing your banking, I really feel like you ought to reconsider where you're doing banking. But if you're not going to reconsider where you're doing banking, and it's asking for Java, you don't have any choice. There's no other way for you to take advantage of that service. If you're going and playing video games, if you're playing solitary and it's asking for Java, please ask yourself, how important is it you play Java on this website?
Give me another version that doesn't make sense.
There's plenty of versions out there that don't require Java. And
does all banking require Java?
No. In fact, most banking doesn't. But it is an example of a utility that you probably can't live without. And if you go to your bank and you find that it needs Java, it's really hard to say, I'm not going to use this because it's your bank. But I would ask you to question this, the security behind your bank and who's organizing the IT in your bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of banks out there that aren't using Java for anything.
So are you saying save the download and just install it, uninstall it?
Java is so easy to download and install. Yeah. Leave it uninstalled all the time.
Okay.
And then that way your browser will be telling you when you don't have it and you need it.
Okay.
And if you need it, right then is when you have to decide how important that need is.
And then uninstall it when you're done.
On the same subject that I raised, I also, in this process, I got Amazon Search that's sitting there back behind my Google search. And I can't figure out how to get rid of that. Why do I want Amazon Search? And how to get in there, I don't know.
Does it just search the Amazon store?
I'm sure that's what it is.
Because the Amazon store.
I can click on it and it has a search, not just the store.
But this is on Chrome.
Yeah.
And is this like that little search window to the right?
No, it's you have
it's a different tab that's come up?
It's a different tab that's sitting up there back behind it.
Okay.
And it is an Amazon search engine.
So if it's a store search, if it's a different tab, then that represents a different web page. And if it's coming up every time you open Chrome, then what's happened is your home page has been set to open up that web page as well as whatever your...
So I need to go in here in the same...
Go under settings, and in fact, let me bring up Chrome, because I don't... The wording on Google stuff is always different than the directory, but they call it start page or startup width. I think that's what it's called, startup. But let me bring it up, and I'll tell you specifically
what
it says. Under settings... And if you never use settings, comes up as another tab in the browser. And give me a second. Slow netbook that's doing all this work for us. Recording and streaming. Hello out there if anybody's listening. Okay, on startup, that's what it's called. It's the second option down in settings, Chester. And it's called on startup. It's three radio buttons. And the bottom radio button says open a specific page or a set of pages. And to the right of that is a link that says set pages. And then when you click on that, you'll see the list of pages that are set up to start up when Chrome starts up. And to the right of the list, each item has its own check mark. And if you click the check mark, it'll remove the page.
Good, thank you. Okay, I was a little fast. I got to the three buttons, the bottom button.
And then to the right of the bottom button is a link that says set pages. And then that opens up a dialog box titled startup pages.
Muchas gracias.
Yeah, and that should resolve that issue. Cool.
Is that Robin? Huh? Is that Robin?
Huh? Now,
I'm going to go back onto his blog next week and talk about that.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Please, if you go back and listen to this for your answer, write down what your question was so that we know it's associated with. Know that we've done something here that's been helpful.
Oh, it's been very helpful.
For my little iPad, I can sign in any place except at home.
On your Wi-Fi network, it's having
yes.
problems?
But our other computers are signing in.
This one is.
But this one isn't.
This one I haven't been able to get.
What?
To hook up to our
Wi-Fi.
But it's hooked up here without a problem.
This one's hooked up now.
To this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Without a
All
problem.
All you have to do is go down to the taskbar. And you see this little thing that looks like a...
And you're connected right now.
I'm connected right now.
And when you right-click on it, it'll bring up your whatever your infinitum is. And then you'll click on it.
When I am at home, I can't
look up to
that infinitum we have there.
It looks like a little triangle.
Yeah, and unfortunately here...
If it's not on, it'll have like a little sun in the middle.
It doesn't give us a list of your networks.
When you click on it,
it gives us a list of the networks around us, but it doesn't tell us the one.
It will ask me sometimes a password, and I can't seem to... I can't get the password.
It'll show you all...
So I took a picture of the modem.
Okay.
I gotta look for photos.
See, this is showing all the networks that are available?
Yeah.
That it's picking up?
Okay. Thank you.
And it's that little thing at the bottom there where the...
There's all the numbers.
Where the,
and I've tried, I think, I've tried most of them.
Okay. It is, on this particular modem, it's the 10-digit numbers in between the square brackets.
And then just, yep.
Okay.
Down there.
Yeah, in between the two barcodes is the code for your modem, unless it's been changed.
Okay.
So it's 10 digits, it's all numbers, and it's between those square brackets.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, another question answered. Okay, Phyllis.
Don't forget Redwood Bowl Girl.
Oh, yes.
One because I went onto Craigslist 3 days ago, found an ad that I wanted.
Yeah, you know they're monitoring all that strange sex stuff.
I realized that. What happened was I got onto it, and it says if you want to reply, you can use their default reply.
Okay.
Or you can go and use, email, iPad, or Twitter, or whatever you want to do it. So I did their generic one. It put me onto a social network. And now everybody's getting emails from me saying, you know, I have friended you.
I got one.
And then I went and did it on my private one, but I emailed Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them what had happened. And I said, if this is what happens on your default one, you better tell your people. Because I found it very, very offensive. And they did send me back two emails with the site that I wanted, but to get off this damn social network. A big pain in the ass. I did unsubscribe.
So,
but I'm not sure whether...
Well, what does the email look like?
Phyllis has liked you.
Is it a Facebook?
Okay,
I've
had that too. I'm gonna
sort of and sort of and all that kind of stuff. It took me a half hour to get rid of it, but I finally got rid of it.
Wow!
But I notified Craigslist and I said, "Hey, wait a minute, you've got a problem."
So what it sounds like is if you use the Craigslist default.
Oh, on this one site. And I said if it's on all your sites, you better check it.
It's that LinkedIn message?
It's like one of those.
LinkedIn or something.
What you're saying, though, is that you didn't choose to be part of any social network.
No.
You're just using
whatever that default email of theirs was.
Wow, that's weird.
And that's exactly what I thought about it. So now I do... It gives you the choice. I use my
because LinkedIn.
Yeah.
LinkedIn.
It's LinkedIn.
Okay, because let's not get confused. LinkedIn is a professional social network that's vetted and verified, and at the very least, it sits up there with Twitter and Facebook and Google+. They don't do malicious stuff.
It's professional commercial.
It's more about finding employers and employees.
Yes. I think this was more to find your address list.
Yeah, it sounds like you. Now, what was this?
Zorpa.
Somebody do me a favor. Anybody that got this email from Phyllis, can you forward me a copy of it so I can see the information?
It's on Lynn's computer. I can have her send it over.
Great. Yeah, I want to take a look at it. So
I got one from Corey.
I got one from someone else.
Well, we could spin around in circles theorizing, but unless we know exactly what it is, it's hard to say.
The address is Hong Kong.
Yeah, the Hong Kong address.
Uh-huh. So what you're saying, it really sounds like at least your interface to Craigslist had gotten infected by something that was taking advantage of people.
Well, the default email address
that you were answering to,
that I was answering from, is what they have infected.
Yeah. Like you clicked on it, and then it automatically made you look like you were liking their service. So it was a compromised
Craigslist
ad.
They may not have known that their default was compromised.
Because it sounds like what they did is they put something compromising into the Craigslist listing.
Right.
Which you're not supposed to be able to do, but people find security holes.
Wow, there's danger everywhere.
Should I send you the email on your card?
Yeah. Do you need one?
Yep. I've got one somewhere else, but remember, I don't know where.
Okay, the other one, which is more critical.
I just want to be aware of the site that's doing that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, he'll send it on to you. The other problem I have is Google has changed.
Again.
Its email. And... You know, I send a list, like I send everybody the computer, and I've always been doing BCC, because I don't want all these addresses.
Sure,
to Can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Really?
How can I get to do it?
Yeah.
Without doing anything.
Oh, yeah, and they won't, you can't copy the
list. I believe that it still works.
It's a BCC only for individual, but it isn't for a list. Because I can BCC, I would have to go into every name, and I got 140 names. I'm not about to go into 140 names and take everyone over to the BCC.
Just hit your board.
The whole list.
What are you talking about?
In
Google's
when I send out
blank
my
carbon
computer
copy.
Club listing, you got everybody's email address.
Well, don't you have it in a group?
Yes. You cannot put that group in BCC now in Google Chrome.
But what if you just send to the group as a private?
Well, in Gmail is what you're talking about.
Well, that's what I tried. I did the group, and I clicked on email. and it goes to 2. We cannot take it out of 2 and put it into BCC.
Gmail.
And this is only
there days. Are issues with this going on right now in Gmail.
Why don't they quit fixing what ain't broke?
And that's exactly what I would like to know. That's what I would like to
know. This,
not getting enough information.
This is such a rub because what's going on in Google right now is they are purporting to save you from junk mail and spam.
Yeah. Good luck.
And
they
so,
do a good job of it.
Yeah.
And so with
do.
Their new with the, yeah, they do a good job with it, but stuff's getting through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they only want their stuff to get through.
I
and
one out of 50 gets through, and that's about all.
Yeah.
And so they've redesigned Gmail. And I don't know if this is related to what they're doing, but I wouldn't be surprised because there are these lists, these email lists now that are not showing up in your inbox. They're going straight to spam. And there's a procedure that you have to go through. Now, this I don't think this solves your problem,
no.
But it may be related to it. There's a procedure you have to go through, which I haven't learned yet, where when that has happened to one of your legitimate list emails, a computer club meeting would be an example of that, you have to find it in your spam and then add it to your list of acceptable things. And this
okay.
is how Gmail is working now. I don't think that solves your problem, but that solves other people's problems if they were getting the computer club email and now they're getting it, they're not finding it because it's getting filtered into spam.
Well, now it's going to 2, so everybody's getting, but everybody's getting everybody's address, and that's what I'm trying to stop.
I'll pick it up on Viva.
Yeah. A lot of people don't.
So when you try and send as a group.
Put in Mozilla Thunderbird and then that'll just. Bring your Gmail over. You
how about Firefox?
Why do you have to send that out in the first place?
Mozilla
Everybody knows it.
Yeah, but sometimes I add some special information into it that I don't want on Viva. And sometimes I'll put a little tidbits in there that I didn't want to put on Viva. I mean, I can just leave it. If nobody wants their weekly notice, I can
Heck, you're leaving anyway.
What next? Well, I'm just going to give it to somebody else.
Problem solved. She's leaving.
Well, there's a couple of ways that we could deal with this. I'm really curious.
Well, my mail list is another one. That's 146
names. I'm really curious how Phyllis solves this problem. Now, as far as the club goes, there's a couple of different ways we can do this. One way is we could just build a mailing list on the website that then Phyllis would have an email address that would be members at Computer Club. And then everybody that's in the members list, which is stored at the website, would get a copy. And the server would deal with it as individual emails. So no one would end up with a list of everybody's email addresses.
Well, isn't that and what happens when you do a BCC?
Well, that's what Google's supposed to be
yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
But who knows what Google's doing now. I'm looking at it right now, seeing if there's a way that we can... Because that your question is a valid question. How do I continue to send to a group... From my Gmail.
Right.
Because you're saying it doesn't work anymore. Well, what does happen when you do that? Do you get any error message or just nobody gets it? If you try and send it the way you were before.
It goes into the 2 and I can't get it out of 2. I click on all or I say my mail list, I got 40 people and I click on those 40 people and then I click on the email box.
Okay.
And I click on the email box. All of those 40 names go to the 2 line.
Right.
And I can't get it out of the 2 line to the BCC line.
Okay. Now, maybe this isn't a fundamental change. It's just an aesthetic change.
Okay. Yeah.
So let me get into Gmail real quick and see if there's something we're missing here.
You've got to look at it and say, why do they want to change this?
Can you cut
and make it more
individually.
Well, Bob, remember... Changes aren't about making it more difficult, but changes do make things more difficult because we're all human and we get locked into the way we do things. So, I mean, it doesn't matter that it makes you more secure or a better product. The reason it hurts is because it's change.
Well, I don't mind change if it makes it easier, but I'm not going to spend an hour and a half doing individual names. forget it.
Like, I, you're wrong. Because even if it made it easier, it would bug you. Because you gotta learn how to do it, and that's not easier.
That's the whole problem. That's why, that's what I had to do when I got on Windows 7. No way am I touching Windows 8.
So, I had enough trouble with 7. Windows 8 is simple. It's the same as 7.
Yeah, let's have a real conversation about 8. When we get done with all these questions, I want to have a real conversation about 8.
Yeah, right.
Have you noticed that the news out there is making it as hard as
it
can? And keep it a secret.
And not negotiate.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
Especially make those old people confused.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm coming up with Phyllis's.
You should have a list in one of your... Don't you have a group?
Email? Yeah.
Scott. Don't you have a group in your email?
I don't. I just created one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So give me one second here.
Yeah.
We're not one of
your I'm getting there.
Anybody else have a question while Scott's trying to figure
out? Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. I think I got it. Let me see if this works now. Yeah, okay. So, I don't know how you used to do it, Phyllis,
okay,
but I know how you can do it now.
Right.
You're in your Gmail, hit the compose button.
Right.
Okay? Bring up that new formatted.
Yeah, right.
Okay, to the right is the CC and the BCC.
Correct.
Click on the BCC.
Correct.
Now it's ready for you to address it. Go to the left and click on the BCC.
What BCC on the left? Though
it says BCC colon, and it's flashing, and it's ready for you to write out the addresses.
Oh, okay.
So if you move your cursor over to the left and click on BCC again,
okay,
it starts on the right,
yeah,
moves to the left,
okay,
click on the left. Now it opens up your address book.
Okay.
Now, up in the upper left-hand corner, it lists my contacts, all contacts,
and
the name of your group.
Right.
Select your group, and then there's a select all box. Click
right.
the select all box, and then click the button in the lower left-hand corner, select.
Yeah, well, that's where you had the group.
Okay, and then all those addresses will propagate across the BCC. It's able to do it, but they've moved around where all the things are.
They moved my when I do BCC, it doesn't move over to the left.
Yeah.
Didn't move over to the left.
BCC?
Yeah.
BCC?
Uh-huh.
And then here's where you find your lists.
Uh-huh.
Select all. And select. You see how it's filled up
uh-huh.
the BCC
okay.
list there?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's easy.
Phyllis, you want to see that again?
Yeah, I didn't see just the
okay.
beginning of it.
So compose.
Compose, right. That's what I've been doing.
BCC on the right.
Correct.
BCC on the left.
Okay. That's what I wasn't doing, the BCC first.
That's what I figured.
Well, we
and then Phyllis
I used to
just
do BCC.
So this looks familiar to you, right? And then you can
right.
You just
yeah,
pull that
okay.
down, choose your group,
right.
select
yeah.
all,
yeah.
and select.
That's not a problem.
That,
okay.
No, we can't.
It used to be the BCC
cool.
used to be under the two. It used to be two, CC, and BCC, and I could go to the two, cut it, pasted in the BCC.
Okay, what's the difference between the CC and BCC?
Carbon copy and blind carbon copy. Blind carbon copy, the address is
and blind carbon copy.
Oh, wow, watch your equipment there.
Let's give her, it just says,
two things, at least two things now.
This thing runs hot enough as it is.
Oh, I will.
Hot and sticky now.
Lucky you didn't get on there.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay, we're doing great, aren't we? We're what, 4 for 4 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we're here. I have a question.
Okay, we'll do Bob, and then we'll do Linda.
And then me.
And then we'll do Chester again. Oh, no, she hasn't gotten a question. We'll do Chester last, because he got his question in first.
Larry has one.
Oh.
Chester, we'll do yours next week.
Let's get Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Okay. I know you've only been here a few days. What's new in
Central? Oh, come on, Bob. Let's the computer stuff.
Some computer
okay, new stuff. I came home to find out that the 3 megabit contracts have been doubled to 6 megabits on
Telmex.
Without telling anybody, without charging any extra money, you can't get it.
What's this now? I was
we don't have Telmex. We don't have
yeah, Telmex has taken the 3 megabit contracts, which I don't know if you remember, but they were that's a guaranteed 1.5 megabits with a potential of 3.
Right.
So now they should be a guaranteed 3 megabits a second with a potential of 6.
Well, that's what we have, and it seems to be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what, before I left, they...
Telmex is good if you have the
Puesto
Del Sol? The cable, the cable that is...
optical
cable.
Well, they installed that.
If you have optical in your in your area, then you can install fiber optics.
There should be fiber. They installed fiber optics years ago when I first got here. They put fiber optic rings all over the city, all over the pueblo. Because it's not much of a city, it's a pueblo. But they weren't. It was all gray fiber. It wasn't being used for anything. And so slowly, throughout the last 17 years I've been here, they've been cranking it on in different areas.
But if you can get mega cable, it's more for the money.
They can't get mega cable.
Yeah. I would be surprised if you can get 6 out there. I mean, you might be able to contract it, but I would be surprised if you got it out there.
Well, we haven't got it yet.
What's that?
We can't get it yet.
Right.
The fiber optics aren't in.
They aren't in all the way out there.
But we've got it, right?
Okay,
where are you guys located?
Vista Marina.
Which one is that?
It's
Marina Real.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, actually,
it's that one right there.
You're way in.
I
love that picture the Great took.
I think the sad thing is that I think that there are fiber optics now all the way to
Costa Del Mar.
Costa Del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're next.
Yeah.
Is the reason for the upper speed? I've heard that Telmex wants to get into television, not only telephone, but television and computers.
They're already in.
Well, yeah, all the phone companies want to do that because they're competing against the cable company to provide the same services using different technology. The only way Telmex is going to be able to effectively do that, or any other of your phone companies wherever you are, is they got to bring fiber optics right to the house. Until then, they're just supplementing it with different services. And you see that in the States all the time. Your phone company will provide you with like a 6 megabit internet connection and DirecTV and telephone service, all as one package.
Well, the scuttlebutt is that over a number of years, everything's going to be streaming over the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're basically there now. It's really interesting this summer working in the bed and breakfast, my folks business, because they were able to contract 20 megabits a second internet through the cable company. And the 20, I mean, amazingly fast, 200 gigabyte capacity monthly, which is an amazing amount of capacity. And also cable service, just basic cable service TV. And this summer, I had TVs broken in people's rooms, and I have no idea how long they were broken, because these people now are showing up with their laptops and watching Netflix, and they don't care whether we have cable TV in their room or not.
But so you have to have a good speed to watch Netflix, right?
Yeah. 20 megabits a second is what was contracted for the bed and breakfast.
And you have to have that?
Well, no, but you have to have 3 megabits a second for Netflix. But with 20, every one of our guests could be doing Netflix without a problem.
How did they break the TV?
They didn't. They're just old TVs. Yeah. To be more specific, things like batteries got taken out of universal remotes, so they weren't able to turn them on. They got set on different channels, so when a guest would turn it on, it'd just be static. But the difference between this last summer and summers past is I knew immediately when there was TV problems, because people would come running going, hey, our TV's not working.
Oh, no,
and this summer, I'd go into a room and I'd be looking around and I'd check something, go, hey, what's up with this TV? And It's not working at all. It's not plugged in. It's not programmed. It's not.
They were stealing the batteries out of the remotes. Is that what it was? Well,
no, but you drop a remote, or you have kids, and they'll play with remotes and pull battery. Or you got OCD people like me, and they just take batteries out of remotes.
Batteries down here in remotes don't last worth a darn.
No, I take batteries out of everything.
Yeah.
When we're not using them, otherwise they corrode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I took the battery out of my Roomba, because we have one of those robots. I took it out and set it in a cool, dry place for the summer, came back, it was still corroded.
Those Roomba batteries suck.
Yeah,
Roomba, all of them.
How about Kirkland?
I love my Roomba.
I love my Roomba too, but.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore.
Didn't love the battery.
Well, the battery, I was able to clean up the corrosion, stick it back in, and it charges and works just fine. It's a 3-year-old battery.
Does that work on tile?
Yes. Yeah, but they've got a Scuba.
It's the Scuba I love even better. The Scuba washes the floors.
The robot cleaners.
Vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. They are so good when they work.
I really want the Scuba because we have mostly cement tile floors.
The Scuba, it really cleans well, and it cleans in the corners
not
well.
Not a one.
No.
Really?
Why not?
Lenora. I've got Conchita.
I disagree. I love my Roomba.
I've got Mercedes.
Right.
I'm
really
splurged.
Yeah.
Expect
we have a
Mercedes
off the mats.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got kids, and what I love about the Roomba is that we have a rule in our house that the Roomba has to be able to get through without problems. So, yeah, we have to pick up. It keeps our house cleaner. That our house is just neater all the time.
Where was the next
one?
Where's the next one? Since I'm last.
Let's go. Okay, back on the computers.
Okay, we've been having a lot of problem with our MSN email or Hotmail.
Well, wait a second. Before I leave but we digress completely from Telmex. But check your Telmex connection, and if you're not getting over 3 megabits a second, if you're paying around $50 a month for your telephone services, including internet, and you're not getting over 3 megabits a second, you should probably talk to Telmex because they have doubled the contract.
Okay, and where do you find out how much you're getting?
You can go to a website like speedtest.net.
Speedtest.net.
Yeah, they would do it. Yeah, there's actually speed testers that you can install in your iPad that just run as an app, and it'll tell you what speed you're at.
Go ahead, Larry.
We've been having trouble with our Hotmail. And we've had the same Hotmail address since the internet.
I think everybody else has, too.
I think so. They were tightening up on security somehow. And, of course, we ended up with 3 or 4 different passwords on different computers and got really screwed up. And then in one evening, Pat got on there and got frustrated with it, so she set up another account called Red Bull Girl.
Oh my!
I think
that's insightful.
I think she was up because she drank some Red Bull. I'm not sure. Anyway,
I don't actually remember that.
Was it Red Bull and vodka?
It probably was.
It keeps wanting to send us to this Red Bull site, and it's been doing this for a long time. And I'd like kind of like to get rid of it.
No, not Red Bull site. It just puts our default mail message as redbullgirl@hotmail.com, and we can't get off redbullgirl@hotmail.com, and that's not our Hotmail address.
So is this in an email program you're using? Wait, what is it that you're writing
on
email?
It's on
his. Okay, so you're using Windows Live now.
And that we only got connected to because the other old one didn't seem like it wanted to work anymore.
It's really Outlook.com now.
Yeah,
it is. In fact, this live mail you're probably going to end up not using.
Get rid of it.
But this looks like it's set up for your Hotmail account. Show me what it's doing.
Programs and get rid of it.
Oh, well, I'm okay with you right now, but I.
Oh, well, where is it that this is a problem?
It will. It will ask us to check in. We're not. It's right now. It's
can you make it do that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
One of the general rules with tech support is if you can't repeat it, I can't solve it.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to repeat the problem for me to be able to find a solution to it.
Electrical problem on a car.
Yeah.
That's right.
If it's working, you can't find it.
Those are called gremlins.
Yeah.
And they stopped making those cars.
Linda, we have your question while he's trying
just
to
now
find
that one.
Who's next?
Okay. Let's see.
Give a name like that. I don't know.
My brother-in-law has one.
Why don't I see the one I've been using?
Gold.
Is that it?
Okay, so you're set up now on Windows Defender. So you don't have to worry anymore about like the first week. I'm paying for it.
Download.
I am using that one. Speed test.
Yeah. Okay. It didn't. That one didn't download. I thought it downloaded, but it didn't.
Linda, what's your question?
My question is.
Maybe actually. Look for.
That's would be that one.
Is it
speed test? Yeah. That's the one you showed me here.
No.
No.
But this one I've been happy with. I saw there were other ones in there, and I just happened to pick this one first, and I know
doesn't
it works
she
well.
Have to be at home or
you might do a search in the
yeah, but I'm just going to download the app and then I can test it at home.
You might do a search in the App Store for OOKLA, though I didn't need to do that. But you can see right there we've got 6.5 megabytes right here in Tequila's.
Wow.
Yeah. Now that's down, going
they
up.
They must have mega cable then.
No, they have Telmex. That's what I was telling Bob. I came back from vacation to find out that they had doubled their speeds. Now that is right at the end of what DSL is able to provide. They can go to about eight megabits a second download. They can't go much higher because it's technologically constrained.
And where are they advertising 10?
Are you sure that's Telmex and not Telso?
No, it's Telmex. They have three packages. Two or three, five and ten.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
That's
interesting.
Tell us.
Because I had friends last year, and they said they had ten.
They
I said, no, you don't, because I asked them. They said, we don't have that here.
I have Mexico.
Really
we can go to 21.
Yeah.
I do think all I did was put in speed test and came up with it.
Paying for 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I'm getting more
doing that.
I've got 10, and I think I'm getting 10. I think I'm paying for 5.
But your movies still buffer.
Yeah, they load up pretty fast.
Yeah, they load up, but they still buffer.
But what are you getting on 10 minutes?
5 and 10.
You're getting 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I'm getting 5.
And I so easily found the one I'm using.
What are you
usually... Take the one on the first page, right?
Oh, you know, now that I say that, I didn't. I think I was looking for the particular app associated with the website that I've done before. Let's see what happens if we put in speedtest.net. Yeah, I think that's what I searched for. But that doesn't look at all like the one I'm using. Well,
I'm going to go back to that other one if I can.
I don't get that. Justin?
Every Saturday it's shut
doesn't
down
do mine.
I have to reboot.
I don't have
right
to.
Right at 3 o'clock.
Well, you know, one of the things about the way the cable works is that you could be suffering from a neighborhood problem.
Yeah. I think you are.
Not exactly 3 o'clock every Saturday.
Well, no, what I'm saying is Phyllis is saying she's never had that problem. And you're saying it's consistent. And what I'm saying is that it could be consistent in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're on an arm of cable. And, I mean, it could be something happening down that arm. It could be one of your neighbors has got something going on that's, or it could be something that fails. It's like, gets filled up. It's like a memory register or something that gets filled up and fails. But it doesn't surprise me that you could have a consistent problem like that and Phyllis has never had it before. And that's very... That's more common with Telmex because there's fiber optic running out to areas, and so you could have a problem with that piece of fiber that would affect that area and not affect other people.
So if there's not many people around your place using internet, do you get a faster speed?
If you're on cable, yes. If you're on telephone, no.
You don't have to check for the
Next problem.
All right, Linda, okay. Ready for yours?
Yes.
Larry, were you able to repeat your...
No, I couldn't.
Okay, well, next time he can figure that out and come prepared.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll see what I can do.
I have an old Linksys WRT54G.
Okay.
I got DVWRT put in it.
Yeah, that's
it's
my
been
favorite.
Working for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I do FTA television. Okay, and now they have this new program called Goo. Free to air.
Free to air, okay, yeah.
Okay, I have this new program, Goo, so it goes right in the router in the DVWRT.
Wait a second, you lost me right there.
Okay.
Wait, what is the program?
It's called Goo.
Goo.
G-O-O.
I never heard of it.
Okay, well, it's for free to air. A guy came up with it, and
okay.
You load it in the commands part in DVWRT. So fine, I load it.
Is it actually the program, or is it a configuration for the
it's
router?
It's a configuration of
okay.
The router. Okay. So I loaded it for one television. I have two televisions. Now, mind you, you have to pay for different connections. So I have one box and a subscription to that box. And it worked fine on one box. So I added the second box, and it's working fine, but I keep dropping the internet. Like, it'll stay on, and I'm wondering if the box is flaky, because when I have to keep resetting the router, but when I reset the router, sometimes the setup light never comes back on. Or it takes 10 minutes for the setup light to come on, which is not normal.
This is the WRT54G, the router
yeah,
that's...
Yeah, the version 6.
Are you hardwired?
Oh, is it a version 6?
Yeah, that you use...
Are you hardwired?
You know, these boxes
no.
are getting old, Linda. The,
well,
the,
I
these
am hardwired.
WR.
Yes, I'm hardwired from the switch to the router where I have the TV and all that set up. That's hardwired.
Okay.
And I know that it's the router because when I take.
Man, we've got so much internet now through Telmex. It's amazing.
When I take the. LAN cable off the router and plug it in my laptop, the internet's on.
No, I think
right now,
unless in your particular
in
area
like
you're having a bad
yeah.
experience,
yeah.
I think it's still cheaper.
Every once in a while it's slower, that's all.
So I don't know why, if it's just flaky. So yesterday I went and ordered another Linksys for $25 with DVWRT already in it. I'm just wondering if my Linksys is so old that it's just flaking out.
Well, you know...
And
that's,
this guy said he might be able to fix it.
That's one of my first inclinations would be to think, because the WRT54G boxes are getting up there in age. They're really long.
Oh, I've had it 15 years.
Yeah. And the version 6 is a GS.
No, mine's not GS.
That's what it says here.
No, it isn't. It's just straight 54G. Version
6. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm misreading this. Okay. Yeah, no, I found it.
Yeah.
But it's still only got 8 megabytes of RAM and 2 for flash. So you can only put the micro software in it.
The micro software's in it.
So, you know, one of the things that I experienced on these boxes that had such a little memory is that every so often, like 2 or 3 months, I would have to flash back to factory defaults and then set it up again. And it was as easy as making a backup of my router settings using the DDWRT administration page.
Right.
Saving a backup of the settings and then restoring the factory backup.
You're saving the backup on a stick?
Yeah, or on your computer.
Because I'm even having a problem getting to the router when I, you know, put 192.168.
You might have to plug in a cable. I mean, if you're doing it wirelessly, you may have to plug in a cable to do it.
Oh, no, you've got to plug in the cable from the router into your laptop.
Right.
Take it off the modem.
Mm-hmm.
And then do your 30-second.
Right, do the 30-30-30.
30-30-30.
And then...
So what's 30-30-30? Isn't it just holding the button down and then plugging it in at the same time and holding it down for 30 seconds?
No, 30-30-30 is hold the button while it's powered for 30 seconds.
Correct.
Continue to hold it, pull the power for 30 seconds. Continue to hold it, put in the power for 30 seconds. Then let go of it. Now, depending on the model you have, it's either going to start up as a fresh DDWRT where it's asking you for the root password.
Right.
Or it's going to start up in firmware load mode. If it starts up in firmware load mode, just unpower it and power it back on.
Okay, that hasn't happened. I've had to do this now, like, this will, today is going to be like the third or fourth time in the last couple of weeks, which makes me sound like maybe
well,
my thing
with,
is just flaky.
With one that has so little memory, I would definitely make sure I did the 30-30-30 correct so that there's nothing in it. And then you can immediately go to the admin console or the admin page and load the backup of the settings you made.
So I bet I have it. So while it's plugged in and not connected to anything.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, sure.
Hold the reset button for
30 seconds. And then pull the power and continue to hold it. Don't let go of the button throughout the whole process. You just hold the button, you leave it unplugged for 30 seconds, and then you plug it in for 30 seconds.
Still holding the button down.
Yeah, the whole time.
Okay, pull the power for 30 seconds, and then plug the power in again for 30 seconds.
Yeah, so it's 30, 30, 30. No, 30 with power, 30 without power, 30 with power. It doesn't matter with the units that have 16 megabytes. It's just, it's not that big of a deal, but the ones that have 8 megabytes, it's really important to flush everything out of the cache.
Okay, see, I was only, and I was told to just unplug everything, hold the button down, then plug it in and hold it for 30 seconds, and then I get up the root thing, you know, the admin.
Well, this is Yeah, this is advice from DDWRT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have to say, these routers that have 8 megabytes of memory, I have used them for a long time, and it feels consistently. Within 2 or 3 months, you may have to reset back to factory defaults and put back in your configuration file. You don't have to set it all back up. Just make sure you make a backup of it before you flash it, because all it will put back in is the configurations.
Well, how do I make a backup?
You go to the admin page under DDWRT, and you do the backup function, and then you save that file. It'll ask you. It's as easy as hitting a button that says backup, and then it'll prompt you, where do you want to save it on your desktop?
Okay. And then what do I do?
Well, then when you get do the 30-30-30, you go to the admin console, and you go to the restore button, and it asks you what file do you want
to restore.
Okay,
so it'll put in back in your
all your
Wi-Fi
settings
and everything?
Yeah, everything. Your passwords, okay. Everything will go back.
So my other question is, they say to take off the firewall on there in the admin, you know, in the basic setup.
Yeah, but is it
the thing that says security? They said to uncheck the firewall, the SPI firewall.
But is it working? It's just working flaky.
It's just working flaky.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mess with any
Guess
of that.
Guess what? After 15 years, I never done this. And we put that.
And it might be dying because those are old routers.
Oh, they're old.
Yeah, and it might be dying just from heat and humidity, and they're cheap too. You can put DDWRT into one of the later Linksys that run in. I run DDWRT across an in router right now.
And no telling what voltage you're getting off it.
Well, you know what? I ordered a new.
Well, that's the. Well, actually, Chester, not knowing at all what we're talking about, has a very valid point.
What?
Your power supply could be bad.
Well, I was going to ask you. Could it be my little. Could it be my little.
It could totally be the power supply. It could.
Not in the router, my little.
Yeah, that little brick.
Transformer.
Yeah, the transformer. The power supply could be bad. And that's a 12-volt, 1-amp transformer, so that's easily replaced.
Did you have a surge protector during the storm?
We have voltage regulators.
I have surge protectors on all this stuff.
Yeah, at the moment it is.
And I have
but if you test it again, you might find that it goes up higher.
I just want to see if that's right app that I should have.
This isn't the app that I was suggesting, but it looks like it'll do what you need it to do.
Did it get the same speed as you?
No, but it's kind of hit and miss. It should at least get 3.
I got wiped out.
But I'm just wondering if that.
So I wonder if we're getting that speed right now, because it's probably less to do about the app and more to do about what kind of condition the internet connection's in right this moment.
Next.
Can we get another couple in before we go? Almost
yeah, but we're not going to get to. I guess we'll get to Windows 8 and some of the stuff I wanted to talk about next week.
I have a question on this 12-volt 1-amp.
Okay.
Could I get it at Walmart? Could I get it at...
Well, you could get one of those universal replacement.
At JG's or...
I guess. One of those ones that has a switch on it and you can set the voltage.
Oh, that'd be nice to have.
That's what you could use.
I ordered it online.
I think yours is given the right amount because our speed has gone down.
But you've got six and I've got two.
Well, I just got one.
Got too many computers on.
Linda just asked a question about could you get something someplace?
Well,
what happened to the computer store?
I don't know if JG's actually. They sell battery eliminators for laptops, but I don't know if they sell power supplies.
JG's, like, I'll just order one.
You shouldn't have to. You should be able to find one in Walmart.
Walmart has.
Those power supplies that let you set what voltage it is and change the polarities on them. You don't know what I'm talking about. Really? They're like the brick you already have. Plug in the wall. The difference is that it's got a switch on it, so you can set 2 volts, 3 volts, 6 volts, 12 volts. Right? And why don't you just take the power supply and go to JG's, and if they can't replace it, they'll send you to the electronics store in Wyoming. It's like RCA Victor.
RCA?
Yeah.
Okay.
RCA Victor would be able to find, or Aranda would be able to find you a substitute.
Where's Aranda?
Aranda is that half electronics, half sporting goods store.
On across the street.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the right.
We were there.
As you go into town.
Remember that we were there?
If you go into town.
Okay.
So they'll be able to find you a replacement. It might not be as pretty, but it'll work. they know what you're looking for. Sylvia is the name of the woman in there, and she's really bright.
Sylvia.
Yeah. See? And what's beautiful?
I'm like a computer.
What's beautiful about Aranda is if they don't have it, they'll just say nope.
Yeah.
They won't waste any of your time. They'll just be like, nope, we don't got it. And you ask them, where can you find it? And they might send you over to RCA Victor. They might just say, you can't find that in 1 minute.
And they probably know that you can't find it.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I bought a wireless USB,
mm-hmm.
a new wireless USB. And first I went to
you're talking about like
Garcia's?
A mouse, a keyboard, or a wireless adapter?
No, wireless app.
Okay.
First I went to Garcia's, and they had this one there, fine. She wanted 384 pesos for it.
Right.
I thought it was a lot. So I said, you know what? For a couple blocks, I'll go over to JG's. I went to JG's, and they had it for 150 pesos, the same one.
Yeah, and actually JG's is selling those TP-Link branded devices.
Right.
Very happy with them.
Is.
They are they're the cheapest ones on the market, and I think they're really good quality stuff. They work real
well. It was all Spanish, so I went online and went to TP-Link and put it in and got the instructions in English how to set it up.
Let's hear your question before we run out of time here.
My house has been invaded by electronic gremlins in the past few days. Today, my biggest problem is that, okay, I have 2 laptops, a 6-year-old one and a 3-year-old one. 6-year-old one and 3-year-old one is a doorstop at the moment. I need to talk to you later about that.
Okay.
The 6-year-old one is not holding the internet signal. I have a router and a modem. The router is 6 years old. I have 2 signals I can choose from. I will get a signal, and I'll go on the internet, and within 2 minutes, I'll lose the signal. I'll have to go and reconnect to either one, and within 2 minutes, I lose the signal. It's a little bit frustrating.
Where do you live?
Over on the side of Tedekali.
Now, how old's your electricity? Like, is it a new house?
Yeah, 6 years old.
6 years old. Okay. And you trusted your contractor?
Well, no.
Okay. One thing that I've learned living here as long as I have that used to waste lots of my time is to make sure my electricity is correct to begin with.
Yeah, I don't understand exactly what you mean.
Yeah,
the common and the blind gets mixed up.
Yeah, the polarity is important.
We've tested the polarity and everything.
Grounded is important.
Yeah. That's
okay,
yep.
and then what level's it at and whether it's stable? Like, is it at 120? Is it at 130? Does it go up and down?
Upstairs, plugged into 2 different power.
I'm just telling you before setting off on all these different things that could be the problem. It's always a simple problem first, and the simple problem that's consistent around here is an electric problem. It, not so much a problem in the States. Here in this area of Mexico, consistently the simple problem is electricity. It's the number one problem that we're solving for people all the time. I spend a lot less time solving computer problems and a lot more time solving electricity problems around here.
This just started yesterday.
Have you tried using it in a different location?
Is it within the house?
Yeah. No, I bring it here and see if it connects here without any problem, or your neighbor's house, see if it connects there. Because that would help narrow down that it's specific to your house or specific to your laptop. And then if it's specific to your house...
It's trying to connect to my mother's house in Canada and my friend's house in Phoenix.
It shouldn't be trying to.
It's like, you know, like it's got XPN. Okay, it's a 6-year-old.
Okay, but it shouldn't be trying to.
But, you know, so I can pop up what it's connected to, and it'll say it's connected to my mother's house. Well, no wonder it's not getting a signal. And I'll reset it to one of my own, one of the ones in my house. It's good for a minute or two. It goes away. I look. Oh, now it's trying to connect to my friends in Phoenix.
Well, it shouldn't be trying to connect to those sites.
Well,
they don't.
It is, and it's not getting oh yeah, I was real close.
Windows not here.
But Windows, you said it's Windows XP. But XP to current doesn't try to connect to anything it can't see. So right there's something screwy going on. Because it shouldn't even attempt to connect to anything that it can't see when it's going out there looking for Wi-Fi.
Okay, yeah,
because
I mean it's on the list still, but obviously it's not getting the signal from Canada or Phoenix.
You aren't getting any.
Now in XP, there's two lists of Wi-Fi. There's the list of Wi-Fi that's set up, and there's the list of Wi-Fi that it can see.
Right.
And so, if you were to double-click on your Wi-Fi connection down in the taskbar, what you should see is a list of only what's available.
Right.
So you don't see your Canada there.
Right.
Okay, so what you're probably referring to then is the list of what's set up to be connected to. And so it shouldn't be trying to connect to those. It should only be trying to connect to those if it sees them in that that first list. So I don't think that's actually the issue. The... Going back to if it's isolated to just your house, Wi-Fi gets broken up by 2.4 gigahertz signals.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be broken up by a cordless phone. Have you introduced a cordless phone? It could be broken up by Bluetooth adapters because they run at the same frequency. Have you added any Bluetooth stuff? Do you have a new cell phone? No, nothing like that. I would encourage you to go and try it in a different place altogether, because it might be your router that's the problem.
You said electricity.
Yeah.
The problem I'm having with the 3-year-old one that I need to talk to you about, and it started at the same time, is when I have it plugged in, it makes a horrible electronic noise. I took the battery out because I could...
Like a noise that comes through the speaker?
No.
Then it's okay.
It sounds like
it's crackling or something?
Does it have a fan?
It doesn't sound like it's a part. It sounds electronic. That's all I can say.
Like it's squealing at you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I brought it because Phyllis said maybe you could take a look at the end.
Yeah. Does it make the sound with a battery in it?
It makes the battery in, battery out. It doesn't make a difference.
Whenever it's plugged in
and turned on, it makes the noise. And it started pretty much the same time.
That actually sounds like... Well, no, not a hard drive, but yeah, it sounds like a power supply. But this would be, this would be the one in cords or supplies? The brick?
Yeah, I have three complete
bricks.
Wall to computer, we have four.
Okay.
So, three different ones.
So there is a power supply inside the laptop.
Right.
And so it could very well be that.
Yeah.
And if it is that...
Is that easy?
No.
Oh.
No, it's normally built onto the motherboard.
Okay.
But
probably more expensive.
They get a new computer.
How old is your computer?
It's 3 years old.
I was planning on getting one in 3 or 4 months, but I need it to work.
That's
younger than mine.
Well, I'll take a look at it. Okay. There's a guy I've used in the past to debug problems with the motherboard there in Wimas.
Okay.
I recommend him with the qualifier that he's difficult to get stuff back from at times. He knows what he's doing though, and that's the reason that I use him. It's because I haven't found very many people that know what they're doing.
Just the battery, as I know, is near the end of its life, so I'm only getting 15 minutes of battery power before I have to shut it down and plug it back in.
Because the battery's bad on it.
The battery's bad on it too. So it's just
like, can a person fix stuff like that?
Well, what you can do is you can
shoot the dog.
What's your problem, Chester?
Yeah. Do you have the keys?
Huh? A Bluetooth problem.
I can go. See you later. See you next week. We'll talk next week.
Because you
right,
need
Scott?
The keys and they need to have
that
risers underneath them. But then as long as the risers aren't broken, they
Microsoft
can be put back on.
Microsoft 8 next week.
Okay.
We're going to start off with you and go Microsoft 8 next week.
All right. Let's do that. We should talk about 8. We should talk about Robin's replacement computer because I think that's going to be part of the 8 discussion.
Okay.
I may
want to go to 8. I may not.
Do we have any Mac problems?
And my Bluetooth.
Mac problems.
I'll bring my little look and you can look at it.
You don't have an iDevice, device, do you?
Okay.
I guess
it's a lot like
none that I can think of at the moment. Mavericks is about to come out. 10.9 is about to come out.
Yeah.
Scott, my computer worked fine after I dropped it.
9?
It was just a little tiny corner up here.
Right.
And it worked by
until it smoked.
But then it was probably 3 or 4 months just before I even tried to use it. Basically. I just kept it,
put that
behind
you
my
want to wait to
desktop.
Well, fine.
And
it wouldn't load in the desktop app.
So would you get any kind of screen? Why don't you bring it with you next time, and then I can take a look at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I sit here,
start menu.
Yep.
Yeah. The screen's all up, so you're good to go.
Don't forget my
person.
Wait, oh, yeah, I stuck it in my bag. So I've got it. I'm going
to
head over there next. Well,
thank you, Scott. It's good
thank
to
you, Scott.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be back. I'm glad to see you guys.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
It was good summer up there?
Yeah, it was excellent.
Would you say hi to Alaska for me?
I'm from Alaska. My folks have a bed and breakfast up there. My family goes up every summer to help them run the business.
Nice.
Get out of the heat.
Are your folks here now or are they still up there?
They won't be down here until around Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Well, Anchorage is a neat town.
Yes. Yeah, and we had an amazing summer. We had a summer that I'm 43 years old, never seen a summer like this in Alaska. And we had the first 2 months of summer were pure sunshine every day, hot weather. You would look at the weather map of Alaska, and there wouldn't be a cloud hovering over any part of it.
I think that was like North America. I know in Canada they had record crops this year.
Yeah.
How about Belvedere?
Well, then it got even weirder because after the 2 month period ended, we started getting overcast. And by the time Yuya and the kids were coming back, because my wife and kids, they come back early, we were having constant torrential rains, just sheets of rain, the kind of rain Anchorage never gets. And so it was like payback for all that great weather at the beginning of the summer. Yeah, Anchorage, downtown Anchorage.
It sounds like Maldives. The last year that I was there, we had 8 sunny days, and all of the natives wouldn't go to work. They just sit home.
That's right. Well,
I was looking to ask for advice on buying a new laptop, which hopefully I can put that question out for a week. I guess we'll find out.
Sure. Why don't we do that? Because right now is an interesting time. Windows 8.1 is coming out this month.
Oh.
And there are people hating on Windows 8, and I used to be one of them, but now I want to give you guys my spiel on Windows 8.
I love Windows 8.
Because I've fallen in love with it, and I can't wait to get a hold of a decent Windows 8 computer.
But you think they're getting rid of this type of computer.
You know, these netbooks are gone. They just aren't.
They're still available in Wymus.
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, you can buy them, but that's not what's being sold anymore. You could go to Tiger Direct and find them. You could find them online.
Oh, my God. I bought that little Asus netbook. It's horrible. I already had to send it in.
Well, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club, the first episode or the first meeting of this season.
Thank you.
Our season, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming. We'll see you guys all next week. We call our season from 2013-2014, from the end of summer to the beginning of next summer, because that's when I'm here. And I'm here and I record these meetings and broadcast online so you can listen if you can't be here. You can listen in real time or you can listen at the website. We meet at Tequila's Bar and Grill here in San Carlos. So if you're in San Carlos, you ought to stop by Tequila's. It's a really cool place. And they as well have really fast internet now, as does everybody else that has Telmex's 3 megabit plan from before the summer. They've got a 6 megabit plan. So even better internet's available. My name's Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. For all your computer needs and help, give us a call or look for us online at internationalcsi.com. Look for the San Carlos Computer Club at sccclub.org. And thanks again, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Goodbye.